Good morning, Cornerstone. We're so glad that you're here with us this morning on this Sunday of Advent as we continue towards Christmas Day, the time when Jesus was born. Amen. So we just want to thank God for you today. Let's lift up our voices in prayer and agreement together. Father, we thank you for this great opportunity to come into your presence one more time. What a blessing it is to have the health and the strength, Lord, to come. And we do pray for all those families that are missing their loved ones during this season, to Lord God. We pray today, Father God, that you would touch their hearts and their spirit, oh God. And there's many that have lost loved ones. And so for some of us, this is a joyous occasion. For others, this is a time of sorrow and longing and missing. But God, I pray, but you're the answer to each one of us. You're the answer to all of our needs this morning. So today I pray that you would stand up big on the inside of us, that you, the Holy Spirit, is the preacher. I am the vessel. Speak your word of truth to us. We declare that your word will not return void, but will accomplish the things you sent it to do and prosper in the things you please. We love the word of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Will you place your hands over your heart? Say, I am good ground. And the word I receive today shall bring forth much fruit in my heart and in my life and my walk with the Savior. Extend your hands to the pastor. Say, Pastor, you're anointed. You're appointed. You have the green light. So preach the word of God. Amen, amen. I receive it, I receive it, I receive it. Pastor Banks was kind enough to read the reference scriptures this morning. And our subject this morning is, He is our peace. He's our peace. So we thank God this morning as we look at, and I want to focus specifically on the scripture that's found in Luke, the second chapter, amen, where it says that, and I'll read a little bit further in that particular book, the second chapter. Let's begin at the ninth verse or eighth verse. Now, there were in the country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And he will be, and this will be a sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with this angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men." So it was when the angel had gone away from them into the heavens, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go to Bethlehem to see this thing that has come to pass, that the Lord has made known unto us." Hallelujah. That was my line in the play at 12 years old, so I can almost quote that by heart. Amen. I was a shepherd boy. Amen. But I thank God this morning for this message, this word that God has given to us. People had waited all the years to waiting for a Messiah, looking for him to come. And Simon in the temple declared that he was the Messiah. The widow had been there in the temple all those years, declared that this was the Messiah. It was good news. The three wise men traveled, for they had seen his star in the east, in the west, and had come and found him and wanted to bring him gold, frankincense, and and myrrh. Amen. Why? Because they were honoring this king, this gift unto man, this good news, hallelujah, that this is who you've been looking for. This is what you've been waiting for. This is who, what your prayers is for. It has been answered. God has sent you the greatest gift that heaven could offer you. God himself, wrapped in human flesh, and a little baby laying in a manger. This Jesus, hallelujah, is a gift unto the world. Glory to God. No, what? No wonder the angels came, begin to say, glory to God in the highest, peace on earth, goodwill towards men. And there was just one angel there. And there was glory all around him. But you know what? When they begin to praise God, the whole heaven opened up. Hallelujah. All they begin to come down and begin to sing his praises. A little bit of heaven touched the earth that night to let us know that God has sent to us a Savior who is Christ the Lord. He's peace. He brought his peace to us. I like that old song said, go tell it on the mountain. Over the hills and everywhere. Go tell him that Jesus Christ is born. Amen. We thank God for that. The oneness of the Spirit. We thank God that he has sown to us a seed of peace has been placed into our hearts. Amen. The Hebrew word shalom means wholeness and well-being in every aspect of life. Health, harmony. Between people, prosperity, contentment. It is not just an absence of war. We are peacemakers who sow peace. It is sowing wellness to people. It's letting people know that there is a wholeness. There's something to complete you. There's something that causes you to be changed. Hallelujah. I like that old song, a deacon, where it says, when I accepted the Lord, I looked at my hands and my hands looked new. I looked at my feet and they did too. Hallelujah. That God, as we spoke last week, that God, hallelujah, can bring about a radical change. That change that has come into my life. And so therefore, God has sent to us as his people health, harmony between people, prosperity and contentment. It is not just a don't, hallelujah, not that's just an absence, but it's also a giving of something. It's a contentment that God is giving. One of the reasons people can't sow peace is because they don't have any peace within themselves. In order to sow peace, you must have some peace. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 7. I remember years ago, sitting on the hills of Vietnam, and one of the things that I longed for more than anything else was peace. Hallelujah. As I looked out there, I said, I just wished I had one of those. Have you ever, you know what's the most peaceful time for me? Is Sunday afternoon. Amen. After church. After the glory of the Lord has come and has been demonstrated, and after I've had my meal and I sit down, there's just such a peace on that day, amen, because the peace of God is in my heart. And the reason why people can't enjoy peace today is because they don't have any peace. In order to sow peace, you must have some peace. There is an author of peace who is Jesus Christ, and he will give us peace in our hearts and in our spirit. Don't you want that peace today? Amen. So, therefore, even around about us, it seems like there's no peace that's going. This is about Jesus this morning, and it's about his peace that he shed abroad in our hearts and in our lives. Number two, we have to speak words of peace. Out of our mouths, we need to let the world know what it is in your heart. You cannot get fresh water and salt water in the same spring. You know, you can't out of your mouth, if it comes negativity and always something negative towards somebody. Do you know that one of the greatest challenges people have is really to live on the positive side of glory? Not always dealing in the negative. Sometimes you need to get up in the morning and not only speak peace to your loved ones, but sometimes you need to speak peace to yourself. This is going to be a good day. I think a lot of people say Manic Monday. They sing that old song, Manic Monday. No, I don't sing no Manic Monday. I say Marvelous Monday, Terrific Tuesday, wonderful Wednesday. Amen. Hallelujah. You got to begin to name your days and name what God, what you expect out of God. Sometimes we don't have even a good expectation. I was listening to Bishop Clark today, and he was giving an example about expectation. And everybody was coming to the church, and there was a drought in the land. And so they said, we're going to come and pray for rain. Amen. Deacon Tim. And so all the people came, and this one deacon was lived a block from the church, and he was rocking on his porch, and they said, aren't you coming to the church to pray for rain? He said, well, you know, I was, but I changed my mind. They said, why did you change your mind? He said, because everybody that was going to that church went to the church, but nobody brought an umbrella. So in other words, they weren't praying with no expectation. Are y'all with me? See, you got to, when you pray for something, you got to pray specifically. You got to pray with some expectation. God, I'm expecting a miracle. I can see the impossible. I can feel the intangible. I expect a miracle every day. God can make a way out of no way. So when you got to begin to speak words of peace over the situation. You know, sometimes you have to come and speak peace into a clamorous situation. Sometimes there's a confrontation with your neighbors or confrontation in your family. You can't come there and edge things on. You got to come in and speak some words of peace to that situation. Even in your job, have you ever been to a situation where you go to the lunchroom table, instead of eating fried chicken, they're eating fried boss, talking about the boss, talking about the company. Amen. Have you ever been at a kitchen table? Now, I know y'all don't do this at Cornerstone because all of y'all love your pastor. Amen. But I've been to some churches that after Sunday afternoon, they had fried pastor on the menu. Amen. That's all they did was talk about negative, what he did and what he should have done and about what his kids was doing and all those kind of things. You know what? We need to speak positive over our pastor. I learned that years ago. When I worked at a company, I remember getting a little bit sideways with my boss. And so when somebody started talking about the boss, I chimed in with them. But you know what? The boss never heard what they said, but he heard what I said. And so I learned that, you know, learn how to speak positive. So you know what? I learned the next job I went to, and it really was true. I said, he is the best boss I've ever had. I love this company. I love my job. You know, I just shot up like a meter. I don't know. Maybe it was just the position, but it was, I think it was what I was saying about something. And I think it's the same thing in the church. If you begin to bless the church, well, you know, we can't meet, you know, it's terrible up at that church. Nobody can meet. I hear pastors talk, I can't get my congregation together. We can't meet. Not recognizing our liberty and taking away our freedom of worship. You know, no, nobody's taking away your freedom of worship. Amen. They just took away your platform. They took away your building. Amen. But if you have God on the inside of you, the Bible says that we worship not in a place or a building, but we worship the Spirit of God, because God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And you can be in your home and you can praise the name of the Lord. You can be in your garage and you begin to worship God and praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. You can worship God on any platform. Amen. They didn't take away your freedom of worship. Amen. Hallelujah. You can assemble. They didn't take even away your freedom of assembly. You can get online, amen, and wave at the saints, hallelujah, on Zoom. It don't make any difference. Yes, it's a little challenging to get all the numbers right and everything, but if you really want to be a part of it, you can just go ahead and do it. You can do it, amen. Mother Hill does it. She even got a video on how she gets it done. Amen. And she says she's 80-something years old, and if she can do it, all of us can do it. Amen. So it's an easy thing to do. It's a little challenging, don't get me wrong. But you know what? Our tech team has worked hard that they give you just one connection. All you have to do is go online and say, your URL number, where the URL at the top, and just type in www.connectwithcornerstone.com. It's not, and once you do that, it'll show up again and again. All you have to do is click on it, connectwithcornerstone.com, and you will be right in the midst of all the saints. Amen. It's a blessing. It's a privilege. We have on our prayer line every morning at 6 o'clock, Power Up in 15. You can assemble there. People are coming, even as they're going out walking. They're walking and exercising, and they're still on the prayer line. Amen. You can just dial in one number. You don't have to have no passcodes or anything. 805-706-4839, and immediately you're right in there in the waiting room, and we receive you in. God, there is opportunities. Nobody's stopping people from worshiping. And that's why I don't understand why some pastors, well, you know what, I'm not going to judge. That's their own belief system. But we have an opportunity to continue until we're able to come back into the house of God. You know what, I come right here every Sunday at the church, and thank God for my support team of Deacon Tim and Sister Grace and Pastor Banks and Deacon Wilkins that come here to support this effort of producing a place that you can worship on. This is the platform that you can worship. Amen. You can lift up your hands right now and say, God, thank you right now for your peace. So you got to be able to speak the word of peace. Not only sow the seeds of peace, and every situation that you come into, you should be a peacemaker. You should be someone that when you enter into the room, you bring a presence of peace. Amen. You don't bring in some aggravating spirit, some anxious spirit, but you come in and somebody say, you know, boy, I just seemed like the atmosphere changed. My good friend, Pastor Dave, he always says, wherever I go, I change the atmosphere. Now, the change of his atmosphere is more aggravating than peace, but don't tell him that. Amen. Because he comes in bothering the waitress and everybody else, but that's a whole nother story. But don't tell him I said that now. Amen. But you should be able to come into a place and spread forth a spirit of peace. So we speak a word of peace. Amen. A peacemaker. We should sow peace. And when we sow peace, we raise a harvest of righteousness. Can I read you a couple of scriptures in case you think that I'm too far off? Let's look at Matthew chapter 18 and verse 13. When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, who do people say that the Son of Man is? And they replied, some say you're John the Baptist, others says you're Elijah, and still others, Jeremiah or one of the prophets. But what do you say? What do you say? Who do you say that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6 says, he will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Matthew chapter 5, verse 9 said, blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called the sons of God. James chapter 3, verse 9 says, with the tongue we praise our God the Father, and with it curse man, who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth comes praise and cursing. My brother, this should not be. Can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? My brother, can a fig tree bear olives or a grapevine bear figs? Neither can a salt spring produce fresh water. But verse 17, but the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. A peacemaker who sows in peace raises a harvest of righteousness. It's the longest recorded sermon. Jesus began by describing the traits he was looking for in his followers. He called those who lived out of those traits blessed because God had something special in store for them. Broken relationships can hinder our relationship with God. If we have a problem or a grievance with a friend, we should resolve that problem as soon as possible. We are hypocrites if we claim to love God while we hate somebody else. Our attitude towards others reflects our relationship with God. Preachers, deacons, leaders, you know what? You can't even get your prayer through when you fall out with your mate. You have got to get that thing straightened out as soon as you can. I remember a story told about this preacher. He and his wife got in a little disagreement, and so he went upstairs and he was praying, and he heard his wife coming upstairs, and he said, I'm just going to stay kneeled down here so she can see this mighty man of God praying for her and interceding for her. And then all of a sudden, he heard the Spirit of God say, get up off your feet and greet your wife and get this thing resolved. Hallelujah. You know, sometimes we have to humble ourselves. We have to go to that person. The Bible says, if you think your brother has an odd against you, you go to them. Not that you have an odd against them, but if you think they have an odd against you, you should go to them and get it straightened out. Don't be harboring grudge. That keeps your peace. It takes away your peace, and you want to live in this peace that God has given you. When we have peace, it makes us one. Only Christ breaks down the walls of prejudice, reconciles all believers to God, and unifies us into one body. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 17. There is one body, one Spirit, and one God. In one Spirit, we're all baptized into one body. This week, we're looking at how to practice the aspect of the living God's peace in our lives. We need to look at how can we be a peacemaker? How can we let people know that Jesus is real, that the peace of God has come here on this earth? A Christian who is filled with the Holy Spirit is not factious. He's not disagreeable or fond of contention. There's only one Lord, one faith, and one baptism. Hallelujah. We got to learn how to live together. We got to learn how to love together. You know, just one little infraction shouldn't throw off our whole relationship. Well, you know, they didn't treat me right. They didn't do this right. They didn't do that. And therefore, I have a little odds. But you know what God is saying? We need to just get that right. Amen. Just get it resolved so that you can live at peace with your brother. And when you live at peace with your brother and sister, you're living at peace with God. Amen. I'm telling you, I love this way. I love the Word of God. Amen. And I'm just telling you today, it's about this peace that God has sent upon us. Don't be living in a place. The Bible said, get it straight, because you'll let a root of bitterness spring up in your heart. You don't want bitterness to get in there. You got to get rid of things as quickly as you can. I don't know why I'm standing on this note so long, but maybe somebody needs it. But I'm telling you, this is what God is saying to us today. If we want to walk in his peace. He said, blessed are the peacemakers. Hallelujah. Don't you want to be blessed of God? Be one of those peacemakers. Amen. So therefore, we need to sow the seeds of peace. We need to speak the words of peace. And then we will reap the harvest of peace. We will be his sons and his daughters. The son sometimes is just like their daddy. Amen. You know, people look at my son and they say, you know what? You look just like your dad, only you're bigger and stronger and more handsome, but I don't get offended about that. Amen. And plus, he got a little ponytail too, but he's living in Hawaii, so that's all right too. It entitles us to all the benefits that the father has. A son is an heir to all the possessions of the father. The Bible says that we are heirs and joint heirs with Christ. Prodigal sons that got up and went home. Aren't you glad about that? A prodigal son that got up and went home. We're now part of that sonship. That's the That is the harvest of peace that we have in our hearts and in our lives. Amen. So therefore, when we live in peace, amen, when God puts peace into our hearts, we become part of this one body in Christ. We are the church, the fellowship of the believers. There's no division in our natural body, so there's no division in our spiritual body. We have to learn how to fellowship. And I know you've heard me say this before. You know, fellowship is a bunch of fellows in one ship. Amen. If you want to get a good picture of it, you know, it's not like you off on your own, doing your own thing. To me, it's amazing. Well, you know, I don't follow no orders. I don't be under no man. I'm just following God all by myself. Amen. But you know, you can get in a lot of trouble out there by yourself. It's good to be a part of a fellowship. It's good to be part of a family of God. Amen. Over in Chronicles, I was reading that this morning about David. It says that when he began to leave Saul and he was put out of the palace and all the mighty men began to come to him. And they said to him, David, we're yours. We are part of you now. Amen. And that's what it's all about, that when we begin to be a part of each other, amen, we can conquer, we can do great things. We can do great things here at Cornerstone. Amen. If we will stay together and walk in the peace of God. Amen. Don't let anybody disturb your peace. I think about someone says, I can't go there because, you know, every time I go there, they disturb my peace. You got to be protective of your peace. You want to keep your peace. Don't get involved with somebody that every time you turn around, they got an argument going on. They're fussing about something. They're talking about somebody else. You know, you don't need to be connected with them, but find somebody else who is in the same mindset that you are, that they want to enjoy the peace of God. So we are one body. Then we're one of the Spirit. The Holy Spirit brings unity into the spiritual realm. He is the one who activates our fellowship. So when we get involved and when we get the Holy Spirit in us, when we pray and when we get before God, we're automatically going to come in unity with our brothers and our sisters if they're doing the same thing. Why? Because we are oneness. We have a oneness in the Spirit. And then we have one hope. We have one Lord, one faith, and one baptism, and one God. We have one hope in God. It is this glorious hope. Christ has called us, called our blessed hope. One Lord, who is Jesus Christ, in whom we all belong. We have one faith. It is our singular commitment to Christ. One baptism. It is a sign of the entry into the church. One God, who is our Father, who keeps us in all eternity. Too often believers are separated because of minor differences in doctrine. But Paul here shows those areas where Christians must agree to attain the true unity. When believers have the unity of the Spirit, petty differences should never be allowed to dissolve the unity. I'm thinking of the fact that I can walk with, and you can walk with pretty much anybody if they tell you their Christology. Now, I can't get with people that won't accept Jesus as Lord. Amen. But you might have a different denomination. I don't care what denomination you are, but if you accept Jesus as Lord, as your personal Savior, then I can get with you. I'm glad that one day, while I was walking in darkness, I saw a great light. I saw this light, and I ran to the light, amen, because in that light, in darkness, I experienced confusion. In that place of darkness, I didn't know my right hand from my left hand, but when I came to Jesus, just as I was, weary, worn, and sad, he put within me and gave me a resting place. And I'm telling you, he has made me glad. I will trust in the Lord until I die. I'm putting my hands in his hands. I'm walking with him. I'm talking with him. I'm coming to this light, and I'm experiencing his peace, and I won't go back. Amen. I'm not looking back. I'm going forward. I'm forgetting those things which are behind. I'm pressing towards the goal of the high calling of Jesus Christ, that high mark. I'm pressing towards that. I'm going to be at peace with you, even if you won't be at peace with me. Hallelujah. I will be at peace with you. Hallelujah. Because I want to maintain a relationship of peace with the Lord. I want him to be able to say at that time when I transition from this life into eternity, he'll say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter into the joys of the Lord. Hallelujah. There's joy over in heaven. There's peace over on heaven. There may not be peace on the earth, but God came to tell those that were there, those shepherd boys, glory to God in the highest. Glory to God in the highest. Peace on earth, goodwill to men. We have peace because we have the Prince of Peace coming to be Lord of our lives. Will you receive him? Hallelujah. Amen.